Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is Andrew Morgans, your host and founder of Marknology here on the Startup Hustle. Excited about our guests, as always, but that's because we're bringing you the best in the industry, and super excited to talk about his path, which kind of started somewhat close to mine and has evolved, and we're actually in business together. So I thought it's really fun to talk to someone in that space that's approaching it a little bit differently and how you're helping people in our space and getting into those details. So Sam, before I introduce you, I just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Andrew. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, we just before we got on air, we were talking a little bit about, you know, your beginnings, because we've just been introduced maybe the last, I don't know if it's been 6 months or a year or so. Time just flies for me. But I want to know kind of your background before we just jump into, like, you know, Dash Applications and what you're doing right now. Tell me about yourself. Where are you located? You know, how old are you? How long have you been an entrepreneur or co-founder? Give me just a little background on Sam.
Sure. We're located out of Denver, Colorado. So there's, you know, a pretty decent startup space here. We've got really smart folks coming out all the time. And, you know, always that kind of revolves around where is the capital, you know, for startups to be able to kind of pop up. And we've got some good funds out here. You know, obviously Techstars is based in Boulder. So there's a pretty good community of startup entrepreneurs around here. And, you know, as far as I go, I've always kind of wanted to be in the startup space. But as you guys, as probably everybody listening to this knows, you realize that wanting to be in it and actually being in it are two very different things, you know. And I think we'll talk about this a little bit later, probably in the podcast. But, you know, when I came out of college, I had done an entrepreneurship degree and an accounting degree.
Okay.
And accounting was because the entrepreneurship wasn't going to actually get me a job. You know, the accounting degree was, hey, you got to have some skills. You got to be able to do some things in the real world. And so that's the path I took, knowing full well that I was pretty shite accountant all in said, you know, so, but it got my foot in the door with a couple different companies. And I actually took some leaps of faith. You know, I went out and worked in New York City for a brand new fledgling startup and helped raise money for that one and raised a pretty significant seed round of funding. Got it up and going for a social activation platform, and then moved out to LA to do some coding just to learn a little bit of computer science and enough to be dangerous to be able to build some products, knowing that I kind of wanted to be more on the product building side. You know, I wanted to take active part in that. And, you know, as much as you want to be an entrepreneur, I think one thing that really has held true for me since the very beginning is that you have to have a unique perspective on something, you know, and you really have to have some skills and a perspective that allows you to actually be the right person to build it because I'm a true believer that the right people end up building the products that exist today. And you really have to find that fit for yourself. You know, is what do I actually have a deep expertise in that I can provide a unique vantage point from, and build something that's actually really useful and solving a pain point for something that I maybe experienced. And that's, you know, the really kind of the jumping off point. And that's very much the exodus of, or I guess the genesis of Dash rather, you know, where we were deep into the Amazon game and from the agency side of things, helping brands and doing different things on the platform, you know, really geeking out over the data and realized that, you know, we probably could help a lot of people do a lot of the things that we were trying to do. So that's how I kind of got into startups. I've been in startups since, you know, I graduated college, you know, 10-ish years ago. And, you know, never as the founder though, really kind of as the right-hand man or, mm-hmm. you know, just the, you know, somebody trying to run operations and, you know, until you really feel like you can tackle it for yourself, until you really feel like you've been in the trenches and you understand, you know, the ecosystem of what you're trying to solve for. I think that's the point at which I knew I was ready to take the leap and really try to build something with my co-founders that I have with Dash.
Yeah, so let's go into Dash. Tell us what Dash is, and then I want to talk about your similarities and like how doing what Marknology does, the agency side, you know, set you up to be ready for Dash. Because, you know, we've had conversations, me, you, and your other co-founder, Todd, about, I tried to build the dashboard that I now have for our clients. And this is actually my third time. I tried I tried some of those real data-driven Tableau, a whole bunch of things. I've been in this industry for 9 years, so the software and everything is catching up. And, you know, yeah. It's something I wanted for a long time. You've done what I was trying to do. That's why I made the switch. But before we, and the need for that, and I just want to, you know, talk to anyone that's listening that might have that need and understand what your stuff can do. Let's talk about Dash applications just a little bit. What have you guys built over there?
Yeah, it was a pretty natural progression, honestly, Andrew. I mean, we were helping build a couple different Amazon agencies here in Colorado, a division within a much larger digital agency, a native kind of Amazon agency based out of Boulder. And we were always looking for opportunities to make it more efficient, knowing that, you know, there were tools out there for brands that were selling on the platform, but they were really focused on the problems of a single brand trying to scale through the platform. And mm-hmm. on the agency side, you know, there's a lot of other dynamics and pain points that get created where you're trying to manage multiple accounts and different brands that all have different initiatives and all have different goals that they're trying to hit. And there just weren't a lot of tools built out, especially from the Amazon side. You know, Amazon isn't making a concerted effort to build tools for agencies specifically. And so, you know, we were always working on things through the agency, you know, as we were trying to, you know, make our reporting more efficient, as we were trying to get better analytics, as we were trying to get better visibility and data to, you know, I guess the levers that we were trying to pull for folks and to help them grow. And so, over time, you know, we started building different tools and then eventually realized that, you know, we had enough of a runway really to just kind of take off and dedicate to the Dash platform entirely. And it really started with the analytics that we were doing, kind of some of the things that you mentioned. We have some unique perspectives in how we look at the data, and that is largely due to our finance backgrounds. I mean, Todd was a former finance master's. He's worked in big corporate Whirlpool and then was at Amazon headquarters for 6 years, working on the hands off the wheel program and doing a lot of supply chain automation and things like that. And really, I came from the accounting side where, strangely enough, I was using Excel a ton. I was doing things like bridging financial periods, period over period, where we're trying to identify drivers of change. Strangely, that actually translates really well to Amazon as you're trying to figure out what's actually driving performance within an account. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where we started. We started building kind of more of the complex analytics. Along the way, we realized that wasn't the first order need, you know, for agencies in particular. The first order need was that they were spending 4, 5, 6, 7 hours on a single client just to get the data pulled and reporting generated on a, you know, biweekly or monthly basis. You're like, man, well, we already have all this data that we're pulling from the APIs in order to feed our analytics tool. What if we just turned around and opened that up to our customers? And, you know, we kind of knew early on that that probably would be a pretty good idea. Number one, because we needed it, you know, when we were on the agency side. Number two, because one of our early partners was like, hey, can you get us this? We'll pay you to build it. And we're like, man, if I've ever felt market pull before, that was it. You know, like, we'll pay you to do something. And we're like, okay, let's start there. And that was really kind of the very beginning of what has eventually become our Data Studio solution, which is Amazon data kind of on steroids, where we do, you know, we pull the raw API data on behalf of our customers, put it in a MySQL database that is relatively ubiquitous, meaning, you know, you can connect to it with a Google Data Studio platform, Tableau, Zoho Analytics, any reporting platform that you're kind of working with. Very easily connects just on the basis of a host name, password, things like that. And you're up and running on the API data without ever having to write a line of code for yourself, right? And that was kind of the gist is like, look, for agencies that can't or don't have the resources or time internally to get tapped into this data, but really need it to improve their processes, get more efficient, and get better insights, you know, out of the data, we could make that possible. So we started there. And then we realized too that data coming out of the API just raw like that is not super useful, because there's a ton of things that just don't make a ton of sense. And the documentation is pretty poor. And oh, by the way, it doesn't even directly translate to what you're seeing in the platform itself. So we do a lot of translation, standardization, scrubbing of that data to make it really useful across tables and be able to, you know, analyze multiple clients or, you know, look at different marketplaces very quickly. And not to mention, we're doing things in the data where we're like bringing together, you know, keyword targeting and product attribute targeting that come out completely separately in the API, but for all intents and purposes are the same thing. And you want to compare that performance on a apples to apples basis. And so, you know, those are the things we're always thinking about is like, look, what are the questions that our users are trying to answer? Let's make the data structured in a way that that makes that possible very quickly.
The big thing is what you started with, that your customers are agencies, right? Yeah. Versus those individual brands. And that was something that those softwares were made for private label people.
Yeah.
At the beginning. And, you know, I've seen them come and go. And it was always trying to use those tools for the benefit of our sellers, but either pushing those costs on them because it's one at a time, or, you know, for me, it's been, I understand the data. I have a computer science background. That's my degree. As well as I grew up overseas playing games, you know, and puzzles and strategy games and those kinds of things, like that gamification to Amazon, as far as understanding algorithms and patterns and puzzles has been, you know, something I had a strength as a kid even. So you mix those kind of together with, I was in a band and touring and really creative as well. So I'm kind of this hybrid, techie, but like that's creative. And Amazon's a perfect fit for me. E-commerce is a perfect fit for me. And I understand that data. We've, you know, in the way that we interpret all the data and the way that we do things on Amazon at Marknology, we call it the Marknology effect. Really what that is just, you know, it's a marketed way to say, of all the data we're collecting, of all the things we do, the way we interpret it, the way we compare it, the way we're using it, our process is called the Marknology effect. And, you know, it's very repeatable in that way. And, you know, it's really hard to be I'm sure some of the stuff you just said about Dash went right over some people's heads, like just, okay. And especially if they don't understand what's Amazon data, like, you know, well, that's, you know, it's, if we're talking about advertising, that's keyword data. It's, you know, competitors, products that we're showing up on in layman's terms. It's, click-through rate, it's sessions, it's conversion rate, it's ROI, it's ACoS, it's trends, it's, you know, that's what we're talking about when we say data. And if you're spending money, you want to know where it's going, right? So, yeah. You know, a lot, if you have a decent size agency, you've got a lot of brands saying, where's my money going, right? And so as an agency, for me, it was, I like focusing on the work and not on meetings and reports, and how can I make this data tell a story to our customers, to our brands, to our clients. And taking, like, being a tech is so important and the data is so important, but it needs to tell a story, and you need to be able to translate that to a brand owner or that e-commerce manager, that VP that's on the other side of that relationship. And that's one thing that Dash has been helping us do at Marknology, is bridge that gap and essentially take like what's super complicated for an agency or someone that's managing it, and help you bridge that conversation, even with visuals. You know, there's a difference between an Excel sheet and an Amazon interface versus like, you know, what we've created with Dash in regards to maybe it's multiple countries we're looking at and we want to look at them individually. And how do we get a holistic picture? Our data goes back almost double that Amazon does, you know, and these are all different things that you can specialize. But I like talking to the facts of like how that actually impacts what we do. And I know that Dash will continue to grow and offer, you know, new features and all that kind of stuff. But for us, what we have in our heads is, you know, Marknology's worked with 300 plus brands. We're not working with one brand that we got really successful with and know everything about that brand. We've worked with 300 plus. As an agency, I want to know, as a trend, what's working, what's not working, what's it looking like across all my accounts? Is this a specific issue to this brand or this client? And that kind of stuff without spending hours and hours of work is just impossible with something like without a Dash to kind of stand in the middle and help us make that, you know, that those learnings. We're trying to get to the next level of learnings instead of a case by case basis. And tools like this that are popping up in the industry are super awesome for someone like me that's been nerding out on Amazon data, Excel sheet by Excel sheet for 9 years. You know, it's a lot of fun for me, and I try not to geek out too much, but data is everything when it comes to decision making. And as an entrepreneur, I think that's what's at the top of a founder's list. You make decisions and you prioritize every single day. You're making decisions. You need to be in the best headspace or have the best data to make good decisions as often as possible and reprioritize, you know, what you need to focus on. So it took a minute, but Sam's not paying me to say this, but Dash has been awesome for Marknology, and I think provide a lot of value to our clients. Got great feedback on what we've been providing for them, and super helpful. So we've talked about what Dash does, you know, a little bit. What do you see as next, and what are you guys working on there in Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, it changes every day. We're first of all, Andrew, I know you got a lot on your plate, but if you ever want to come, you know, over to the Dash team, like, you could probably sell it better than I could at this point. So I appreciate it. I mean, but I think that's what's so rewarding for us, is that, you know, we have founders like you that are really asking and trying to get answers to the right questions. And that's ultimately what we're trying to facilitate with everything we do. So, you know, we started with the advertising data because that API was the most stable. We had a pretty good purview into how it worked and how to use the data. And there were a lot of agencies that needed it. We've moved on since then to complement that data set with what we call MWS, or operations data in Amazon. And for those that don't know, that's really kind of the lifeblood of your Amazon business, right? It's going to tell you how your sales are on the platform, how your inventory is looking, you know, the fees that Amazon is taking from you, so you can understand profitability. But we go, again, way beyond that, where we're not trying to just be a connector to the data, because there are going to be other folks that do that a lot better than we do. And we're fully aware of that. I think where we can provide a ton of value to agencies and now brands also that are looking for this data internally to do their own reporting, as well as actually investment firms. We've gotten approached by quite a few investment firms that are, you know, either facilitating transactions in the space where, you know, people are gobbling up FBA businesses or brands that have a major Amazon component, or they're looking to acquire them for themselves. They are plugging into the data and going, well, how can I assess the health of this business? And that's true for agencies and brands too, when they're first plugging in. And without that operational data component, you really can't understand how your Amazon performance is truly standing. So that's what we're tackling next, is we're doing some really cool stuff with the MWS data, where we're able to enable insights like customer lifetime value without having to pull 2 years of manual data, you know, segmenting new versus repeat customers so you can understand the buying behavior and the quality of that revenue that's coming in through Amazon, that's facilitating that stepped up nature of your organic ranking within the SERP, right? Within the Amazon search results page. All these important factors that are starting to come together where Amazon is just really a beast of its own. And there are going to be other marketplaces out there that are going to have a similar model, Walmart included, where the handshake of your operations and your marketing is really, really tight, where this doesn't really exist on Google. You know, mm-hmm. in particular, where if you get a conversion in search, it's not affecting your organic SEO of your website.
Right.
Not the case in Amazon. So if you get a conversion in advertising, it's informing your ranking, you know, within your SEO, within the
preach,
SEO.
Preach, Sam. Preach. I'm going to have all my clients listen to this. I'm going to have all my clients listen to this episode.
You've got to understand both. And it's not just a, you know, one feeds the other. It's also literally if you run out of stock, what happens? Well, you can't run advertising, so the agency, whoever you're working with, is screwed. You're going to tank your overall performance, and it's going to take a ton of time to recover. And so, you know, there are just these what we call operational marketing components, and I don't know if that's like a trademark term or coined by anybody else. We've been talking about it for a long time because it's really the idea that your teams that didn't have to talk together before, sales, operations, didn't always have to talk to marketing. They now have to communicate in a very different way, and they have to do that through the data. And we've been preaching about this for a while because it's this totally new paradigm where marketplaces are going to require that kind of communication internally within these brands. And without the data kind of in front of them to be able to do that and start making these connections between, you know, well, how much am I paying to acquire a new customer on a term that has nothing to do with my brand, what we would call a brand agnostic or non-brand term. Okay, well, if that's $20 to acquire that new customer and I'm only making 30 on them on that average order value, I'm not going to, I don't want to do that. I'm going to lose money after Amazon takes their fees. But hold the phone. You're not thinking about what the lifetime value of that customer is to you over time. Right. You're not thinking about
the momentum it creates,
the ranking it's informing. But also if you can get that customer to be a repeat customer for you on average, maybe that customer is worth about $100 to you over the lifetime that they spend with your brand. Well, that $20 to acquire that customer now looks a lot more economical on a per unit basis or on a per customer basis. And it changes the conversation about how you think about your marketing investment and how you think about the channel. And I think this is very much going to be the case in other marketplaces as well.
I love that. I am someone that, as I've gotten better at it, absolutely just love using data to drive conversations with brands. I'm trying to get them to make leaps. You know, we're in a Wild West space. We're in a space that a lot of people fear. The pandemic has sped that along a little bit. But I've been banging my head against the wall for 9 years, you know, convincing people of how this thing works and overcoming all the content out there that's, you know, anti-Amazon. And it's just people that don't understand how it works. And you know, they're like, well, why would I want to drive traffic to Amazon when I can drive traffic to my website? Well, there's pros and cons to each, you know, like,
well, Amazon's going to convert 20% or 20 times higher than your website. Number one,
mm-hmm.
that could be one. Number two, what if those customers wouldn't come to you anyway, and they already live on Amazon? What do you want to do about the millions of customers that are already captively there buying your competitors' products, right? Yeah,
right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
I love it. I'll hire you if you're ready to come. So, you know, no, that's the game. And it's, you know, it's this conversation back and forth and trying to get brands to, you know, understand what's going on. And for me, it's been, how do I get this data out of my head, you know, out of an Excel sheet, be able to use it to communicate, to make drive decisions, down to tracking keywords from what's our advertising strategy. You know, Marknology became an Amazon agency advertising partner. We're one of the 60, we're one of two that are service-based. So we're proud of that. We're, you know, it's usually the Dash applications and companies like Tecometrics that are becoming those partners. Because of just the data and the ability to control that. But it's understanding. I mean, in the early days, people didn't believe in Amazon SEO. And it might seem like silly now, but I'm telling you, in the forums, in the chats, in the groups, in the it was an argument. You know, is Amazon SEO a thing? Now it's Bible, pretty much, that the advertising and the organic rank are tied together. And, you know, your advertising drives that organic rank. And so now it's like, duh, you know, and trying to get brands to understand what we're getting whenever we when we have a 25% ACoS, what that actually means. It's more than just the ROI of that sale. It's driving organic. And I can show you that by tracking these keywords and show you that by tracking the difference in sales that come from ads versus the sales that come from organic. And we can see organic rising because we're targeting these terms. And, you know, but you need all the data to make that conversation real and palatable.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I think we were actually on with the Amazon API team today with a couple of their marketing folks and a product manager. And they really are making honest efforts to reach out to some of their users and some of their customers, you know, on both sides of the fence to better understand, like, how can we, and it's obviously with their own gains in mind, but it, you know, better understand how can we facilitate better understanding of your advertising spend and where you should be investing dollars. And, you know, we started talking about that, the data points that would be really crucial to have, you know, that holy grail of, can you show me how my advertising spend is affecting my organic ranking? Well, that'd be huge, right? Like, we would love that data point, and we're starting to see glimpses of that in the brand analytics. And I know this is very Amazon centric, so I don't want to focus too much on the Amazon stuff for our other startup folks. But, you know, one thing I'll back up maybe and is just useful for everybody to understand too is it's definitely not just about it's certainly not just about, you know, how profitable we are on the Amazon channel. You know, Amazon has far-reaching effects well beyond their own platform. If you search a brand, if they have any amount of presence on the Amazon platform, it's often that their Amazon listing is going to show up second or third in the Google results. And so that's a really interesting dynamic that gets created just by the pure volume of traffic that Amazon drives, because ultimately, whether you think you're on Amazon or not, somebody's probably selling your products and probably owning your brand conversation in a way that maybe you're not even aware of. So that number two or number three Google result that comes up for your brand when somebody searches your brand and that Amazon listing pops up, if you're not owning that content, you're letting somebody else tell your own brand story, because ultimately a huge proportion of traffic, we know, I won't spit out the numbers, but there's a massive proportion of the online shopping traffic that goes to Amazon first. It's a very high percentage of customers that start their shopping journey on Amazon. And if you aren't owning that presence and you're not telling your brand story the way you want to tell it, somebody else is, and it could be leaving a bad brand impression on your behalf. And I think that's why just owning the channel, even if it's not from a performance aspect, you should at least own it from a content aspect. And Amazon's doing a better job of making that possible. You know, we talk about owning the customer. They're opening up DSP, which is their demand side platform for display advertising, where you can start building audiences. You're getting some glimpses into your customer data, some of the geo-targeting. So there's some light on the horizon, I think, around just visibility into that customer and at least the ability to talk to that customer somehow, some way.
Yep. And that's been something that I've like really focused on in my time focusing on Amazon has been, as Amazon's released the brand tools, the ability to storytell, I've been all in on those. And being an agency that knows what's going on, knows what the value adds are, and being honestly excited about it, you know, as Amazon's given brands more control, there's more that we can do. And more we can do, you know, you were talking about brand protection essentially by owning your shelf space mm-hmm. on Amazon. There's that brand protection part. Even if you don't want to be an offense, you know, having a good defense can be important too. And just making sure that there's no huge drop off between someone engaging with your brand in brick and mortar or on web or coming to Amazon, just seeing a horrible experience with those products. Amazon built trust in the Wild West of e-commerce. You know, and that's why people go there first. If you think about it, it's all about trust. And so why reinvent the wheel? You know, people are there. Jeff has done the work to make people trust his site, his marketplace, yeah. right? And it's not just Amazon brands. There's every brand you can think of there. And so that work is done, which is what you're trying to do on a website with a web page, trying to get a conversion rate anyway, is to build trust to get them to say yes. Why reinvent that wheel? Go where the marketplace that has America's trust. And invest there at the very least, invest in getting someone that knows it to tell you what you don't know.
Yeah.
And then making an informed decision. For me, I don't even argue with brands or clients anymore. You know, it's essentially like, I understand where you're at. It's not like a pushback. We'll do whatever that requires, but I'm like, I know this to be true. You know, regardless of content out there, media, when you've done something 9 years, you know, you're all in it, you know what's going on. And I say, hey guys, like, we don't have to guess about what customers are searching to find our products. We can use the data to tell us exactly what they're searching when they find our products. We can use the data to exactly tell us what to focus on. And Amazon's making that more and more and more available. Part of the attribution beta. Right. And that's something that is getting better and better. I think they just added a new feature that I'm pretty excited about, which tracks mobile traffic a lot better. But there was even things we were doing before attribution came around. And I've always known that off Amazon traffic benefited Amazon listings in a big, big way. Didn't have the ability to prove it. Right.
Unless you maybe had an affiliate tag to stick in there somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. And you're getting some kind of loop back. And now there's the Amazon Associates and the different things going on. Or I had coupon code redemptions that I was using back in the day. Someone redeemed a coupon, we'd track it back to Facebook or Instagram. So workarounds. But it's not that we didn't know it. It's that the industry is catching up, right? And now they're like, okay, we have the data to prove this, or we have the data to prove that. And that's where Dash comes in, and really allows you to, maybe for the first time, in Amazon days of selling on Amazon, have real accurate data that's helping you drive your decisions, setting you in a spot to, I don't know what you coined it as, operational marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Operational marketing is so real. I used to describe it as, you know, I'm trying to talk to someone that doesn't understand Amazon, but they're trying to know more. And I'm like, there's like 100 levers. You know, on Amazon, whether it's like stock or it's conversion rate or it's images or it's, you know, response time or it's shipping time or it's
reviews
or it's, yeah, your conversion rate and click-through rate and engagement on reviews and video and there's 100 levers. Mm-hmm. And just imagine that. And the closer we get to a 10 out of 10 on each of those, the more Amazon rewards us,
yeah.
You know? And so you don't start with 100 out of 100, you know, but how many of these levers can we get to a level 10 status? And when we do that, we're going to see success. And that is just like slow work day in and day out, working on accounts to get those 10s. You know, you're taking something from a 5 to a 10. And the data helps us know what to focus on, when to focus on it. I just get excited about it because it makes what I'm doing that much easier to get brands excited.
Yeah. And, you know, what's really exciting to me, too, is it is still day one, as Amazon would say, man. And that's reflected in some folks' perception of the platform. You know, oh, Amazon is, you know, is going to ruin my brand. And for some, it's not the right platform. But that's also just a sign that how early it is yet for people just to understand where Amazon fits. And, you know, you think about all of the platforms and layers of information and intelligence that get layered onto Google and CRMs and all these other things that you can see some of those pathways starting to, you know, evolve within the Amazon marketplace. And I think they perfectly benefit from enabling that data access, right? In the same way other industries did too. Google started opening up their data, you know, Facebook opened up their graph APIs and things like that. It's the same principle, in the sense that the more data you share, the more confident people will feel about the platform and the better decisions that they can make, and they're willing to invest more. Yep. And that's just, it's key for them. And that's why you've seen such a fast evolution, especially within the advertising segment of Amazon, because guess what? It prints money for them. You know, I mean, it's silly how much margin they make on their advertising division, you know? So yeah, they're going to continue to invest there. And I think you'll probably see less pressure for those folks that are worried about Amazon, you know, basically stealing their data, replicating their product and swiping their legs out from underneath of them. Amazon doesn't make that much money on their products. Think about it. I mean, just from a pure scale and profit margin standpoint, like it doesn't behoove them to continue making products that make them, you know, 50 cents of margin.
Right.
It behooves them to continue growing DSP where they take pure cash as part of running a campaign and pay per click, which is a digital asset for them that they're paying for servers. That's it.
And AWS as well,
you know, right? So if you look from the business, yeah. Oh, and by the way, everybody uses AWS, their own tech stack. So, I mean, it's beautifully integrated. They really are eating the world in that sense. And I think there's any risk for Amazon, it truly probably is congressional pressures. I mean, ultimately they're going to run into some monopoly conversations. It'll probably happen in the EU first. And you've already seen some of those hearings here in the United States. And that's just the nature of a giant. You know, they're that big, you know, where governments have to start taking, you know, paying attention. And Amazon is not necessarily vertically integrated. They are so horizontally integrated into fields that you wouldn't even imagine. I mean, they have the largest logistics footprint of any company in the entire world, right? Like, and it's space, but it's also network where they're able to run so much more efficiently. And so it's just an interesting case study for all entrepreneurs, I think, just to understand, like, it's not just about their marketplace. It's about every single segment that they're in that you probably don't even know about. That is facilitating synergies for them, both from a profit margin standpoint, as well as just from what can I do and what can I leverage.
And how valuable is it to know how those systems are working?
I mean, for who, you know, I guess for brands
to understand that platform. Like, I think, I think Amazon, if you talk about like the evolution of the last 10 years on Amazon, selling on Amazon got trust by doing 1P, Vendor Central, and they got brands to come out. They didn't have to give analytics because it was just another PO, right? Retail channel. And then, but they're wanting to move more profitable to where they're getting 3P sellers to take on that learnings. For brands to be able to want to do it, where they're going to have to pay a Marknology or someone in-house or someone to learn it. They're like, well, we need data. We need, you know, we want to be able to tell our brand story. We need branding. We need these things. So Amazon's been evolving to meet that, to create a great customer experience again, because now they're not creating the experience. They want the brands to create the experience. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, why are they releasing these tools now? Well, that's because they've went from 1P, which got them all the trust because they were able to control how everybody received products and the timeliness. And if they swallowed refunds or sent out replacements, they had all the control, because they'd already bought the products. And then now it's on the sellers. And so they're, you know, making those requirements harder and all those things. But it's like, you know, it's so genius in my mind, as far as, you know, and I've kind of built my business in the same way. If I'm going to be, you know, doing business on the Amazon platform, build it in such a way that it evolves with the platform in regards to horizontal growth from, you know, the first time we started offering photography in-house, knowing how valuable on that platform between the advertising and just the conversion rate, the photography was, I was like, this is a must to be, you know, on that platform. So I can get carried away, but I look at, some people look at Amazon with angst, and I look at it, you know, with, just
Bezos says it best, right? He's like, you can either look at it as a headwind or a tailwind. You decide which way you want to ride. Right. And, you know, started with a couple textbooks in a garage, as all good stories do. So yeah, it's a fascinating, fascinating case study, and, you know, going to be around for a long time.
Yeah. A lot of, and, you know, just take a second here to talk about our sponsor, Fullscale.io. They help you build a software team. And, you know, not everyone has a need like that's Amazon API focused or whatever. But if you're a smaller team, you don't have these skill sets, you don't have Amazon skill sets, you don't have database building, ways to interpret what you're doing, fullscale.io is a great way to scale up quickly and build out your team in a way with experienced people. Once again, guys, fullscale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably. Sam, let's change directions just a little bit. Let's talk about Sam, the man.
Well, first, you know, I was just going to say, I mean, we might have to be getting in touch with Full Scale, speaking of scale, because we have some development needs ourselves. So I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind.
Yeah, Matt, sure. Matt DeCourcy is the founder, and he's also, you know, one of the main hosts on the podcast. He's been my mentor for several years. I'll give him a little plug here. He's been my mentor for several years and ultimately brought me on the show as an e-commerce host. Brilliant, and can really help you systemize and organize your people in regards to getting people in the right places and your systems in place. He's his first business was ticket-based business, online ticket sales, and then he went to Gigabook, and now he's done Full Scale and a whole bunch of different things. He has his hands everywhere, but I like to think of him as kind of the hacker type. And, you know, I'm more of like the blue collar, like workhorse type, And so, as a mentor, as a friend, as a colleague, great, great person to talk to, even if you're not doing business, great guy to see things from a different perspective, on your problems and what's going on. So, a little Matt DeCourcy plug, but he's one of our main hosts here on the show. And we're actually doing a late night show tonight. So I think we're going to go live and talk about Prime Day, all things Prime Day. But fullscale.io, it can be, if you have development needs, they're there. And it's, as someone that's in the Amazon space, I'm busy as ever. And tech and the pandemic has sped everything up. People are hard to find, and quality people that show up. And put in the hours. Fullscale.io is a great place to start.
Yeah, I might have to have a little chat with Matt sooner than later here.
Yeah, so let me know. I'll make that connection.
Very good.
But to talk about Sam the man, you know, what are some things you're in Colorado? It's during the pandemic. We've talked about what you're focusing on with Dash as an entrepreneur, as a co-founder. Let's be a little personal here. Just like, what are you working on, you know, yourself to grow as a leader, as an entrepreneur? This year?
Yeah, great question. I mean, first and foremost, you know, being desk bound like we are, working from home, you have to really focus on the physical and mental health every day. You can't really let it slide, you know. So I've really focused on just having a routine that I stick to. You know, I try to get up relatively early. I have my coffee. I read my business books in the morning, you know, something just interesting that's going to get my mind churning a little bit. You know, try to work out every single day, try some new things. We, you know, gotten into some rock climbing, and I'm a fly fisherman. So I try to get out, you know, when the season's right. And, I think fresh air, you know, for me is super important. As far as the business stuff goes, you know, we have gotten a long ways, you know, with just pure grit, kind of the blue collar style, I think is our style as well. But, you know, we're at that point where we know we have something and we have some questions that we can't answer for ourselves, you know. And I've never been great about reaching out to folks and, you know, really looking at my network and going, you know, who can I go to for some advice? And so I think a big factor for growth for me right now is like, look, you gotta have people. And you got to lean on people. And I've got great people, you know, in my network. I don't do a good job of reaching out when, you know, when I should be. And so we've started doing that. You know, we've got some really great folks. One guy I'll shout out in particular is Matt Early. He's a CMO at Havenly, absolute rock star. And, you know, was actually early on the growth team for Drizzly, which is the alcohol delivery company that went pretty large. Havenly is very much so a tech darling here in Colorado, a shining star. And, you know, I reached out to him because I was like, look, Matt, we've got something and we know that it can be, and we know what it can be. There are some questions here in between that we need a little guidance on, you know, and it's a good example. You have to question yourself constantly. I think one of the books that I'm reading right now is called The Road Less Stupid, which was a great recommendation from a friend of mine named Zach Duckworth, who has a digital agency here in Boulder called DigiZen. And he's like, look, check this book out, because you know, for all the, you obviously you probably read a ton of books too, Andrew, that are a little bit, you know, prescriptive and like, hey, maybe there's, you know, some of the wishy-washy advice and just some gurus, you know, that are spitting out advice. This guy, I haven't gotten too far into it yet, but I think the one thing he's focusing on right away is thinking time in the day. And I think as an entrepreneur, you know, I can spend all day long doing stuff, but I don't spend enough time prioritizing what are the most important things that I need to be doing for my business. And some of that is just sitting down and thinking, you know, before acting and just trying to make things happen and move and push things through. And we have a pretty good balance of like checking, you know, is this a good decision? How can we validate this? We're not great at the software piece yet because we need to get better at, like, you know, being a little bit more agile and kind of lean in that feedback loop. So, you know, just taking some time to sit down and think on a day and putting some good questions in front of yourself. What are the questions that are really important for us? And I think I'm relentlessly pursuing a couple questions right now about scale. Like, can we scale from this architecture standpoint? And, you know, how can we maintain a really good customer experience? And then thirdly, you know, what are we going to become in the eyes of our customers and within the marketplace, or in the ecosystem of all our competitors and the landscape that everybody's assessing here as Amazon continues to evolve and shift. And we're starting to hone in on that, on those answers. It just, it's going to take an army, not a, you know, not just a couple little villagers that, that we've been thus far, you know, so we need our tribe. And, that's a little bit of a cliche thing, but it's true. We just have to gather good people around us at this point. So we have some good guidance.
No, that's awesome. And thank you for sharing. On my last podcast, I was talking about something so similar, you know, and the mindset piece of evaluating yourself and your circle constantly. You know, do you have people around you? I know on the asking for help thing, Sam, for me, it was once I had something to give, I felt more inclined to ask for help or assistance, you know? And so whether that was a network or Amazon advice or e-commerce, whatever it was, I had more to give than I used to. And so I had to break that habit. And the other one was, how do you make better decisions? And to do that, you need space, you need time, you need thinking time. And, you know, it's these little habits you create that then create the space for that. You know, whether it's your morning routine, whether it's, you know, having some 15 minutes to decompress from meeting to meeting, and, you know, whether it's walks around the block twice a day to get some air, you know, what are you doing to create that, those changes that you need? And scalability is the biggest topic that all entrepreneurs are facing, and at some point, you know, and so, how do you do it? How do you be realistic about it? For me in the mentorship, like before I met Matt DeCourcy, I have like maybe three mentors now. And for the longest time I didn't, because I didn't want to accept advice from someone that wasn't patient enough to listen to my business.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this generic advice. There was someone giving me agency advice, ad agency advice. I'm like, that's not my customer. That's not my business. That's not my customer. That's not my business. Why am I taking any advice from someone that hasn't done what I've done? And so it was finding the right voices to listen to, whether that's them getting a clear grasp on your business or me arriving at, I can take advice that's not specifically tailored to me and put it through the filter of what I'm doing and arrive with the advice I need. You know, when you're like in something like this space that we're in, that's literally getting created as we speak, things like Thrasio.io, you know, and wow, big topics. It can become a little daunting to be like, well, where do I go next? And I think that for you, you created this company based on your knowledge yourself of what you had been doing in the agency world. And now you're going to have to create the next chapter for this company based on what other people are telling you they're going through in the space. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be a little bit different from internal and gut and like that need. You're going to need to get those answers in a different way.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. I mean, it's the evolution of the business where we've moved beyond what we experienced firsthand. now, mm-hmm. you know, now we're, although we have good instincts, you know, in the space. And, you know, I have to shout out Todd too, Todd Vandersell, my co-founder. You know, he's a couple of years my senior, and he's been some places, you know, man, he's worked heavy corporate. He was way up, you know, within Amazon, you know, about the third tier in Amazon as an executive. And, you know, I met Todd 4.5 years ago, and I knew immediately he's somebody I wanted to work with, because I knew I could learn from him. And I wanted to have some adults in the room around me as we started to build some things. And, you know, that has proven very true. And you know, it's a funny dynamic. You know, he's been my boss who interviewed and hired me into that first agency. He's been my friend. He's been my co-founder and my, you know, my partner in this business now. And, you know, and we're at some different stages in life, but it's really cool just to be able to kind of be in the trenches together on it. And, you know, so in some ways we've got each other, which is really important. I think I realized that I would never be able to do this without good people having started, and Todd in particular. You know, mm-hmm. I couldn't do this alone. You know, and there's some strength in numbers, and obviously, you know, for anybody that has tried to solo found a company, they know how hard it is. You know, because you just don't have that other person there that is also going through those ups and downs. You know, we haven't taken a paycheck from Dash ever, and Dash has been in existence for over 2.5 years, so it's we're there, you know, from that. Everybody says, you know, startups about 7 years, and we're tracking pretty well to that, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, it's going to be 5 years before we really know kind of where we stand and what we're trying to do, whether there's an exit strategy. I mean, we certainly have ideas about that, but it is, you know, you're not exempt from having to do the work, and you got to have good people in the trenches with you. And I certainly have that. So I'm very fortunate in that regard.
And one thing to piggyback on that is, you know, we started the show with your history, and, you know, the second in command here, I tried this, or I wanted to learn programming, or if you hadn't been at that first agency, you wouldn't have met Todd, who's now maybe at your fifth project, your partner and your friend. And someone could look at the first four as being failures or temporary successes, whatever you want to look at them as, right? It's that action step to just go and do and learn. And 4 or 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, you're now creating a business with that person, or investing mm-hmm. together, or, and those are just the things that you have to just kind of step in faith. If I can use that word, mm-hmm. Just step out and do. You can think about things all day long. I'm going to go down a tangent just for a second, because this one's fire, but I was talking to my roommate and my business partner. I own a property management business as well here in Kansas City. We have about 20 or so Airbnbs and 50 properties. And it's been kind of my, like, what if all of Amazon goes to shit kind of plan. And, you know, his background's military intelligence. And so his job for 7 years was, as a captain, was like, you know, get all the information together, you know, create a plan. This is what happens if the plan works. This is what happens if the plan doesn't work. You know, great partner for me, obviously. And, you know, and we moved into this house to be able to collaborate off hours. When I'm done with the agency, I'm coming back home. We can get some debrief time. And so we were having one of those moments where we were just chatting. And, you know, I was telling him, I'm just like, I think one of the main differences between me and everyone else, as someone at 33, I say everyone else generically, okay? But like at 33, I've done a whole lot of life for a 33-year-old. I've just done a lot of things. I've been a goer, like do. And because of that, I've failed a lot. I've learned a lot. I've experienced a lot. And what I've learned is a plan at best is just 50%, which is still a failing grade if the plan is perfect, right? It's the other 50% of what happens when you get punched in the face. You know, the cliche saying, but it's true. And so when you know that, it allows you to, it's not that you're fearless. It's just that you know that at the end of the day, stuff's going to happen, and life's going to hit you in the face, or business is going to hit you in the face, or personnel, or someone gets sick, or any number of things happen. And it's what you do then. It's what happens when a pandemic happens. It's what happens when, you know, Amazon's API closes off. It's what happens when, you know, Amazon shuts down for a week, or who knows what's going to happen. You know, like, this is the year of the unknowns. And, you know, so many people have to have a plan to take action, you know, before they can do it. It has to be completely outlined. What's next? What's coming up? and I just prepare to be prepared for whatever happens, right? Like, how can I have my mindset and my health and my energy in alignment with myself so that if I can't use logic to make a decision, I can use my gut to make a decision, and my gut's in alignment because I've been working on those things, you know, before the time comes. So it's a little bit of a rabbit hole, but I think it's super big for talking about what's next. You know,
it is. And, you know, Todd and I got the chance to spend some time. I took him fly fishing for the first time a couple weekends ago. And, you know, you get a long drive out there and you just finally, and of course we're talking about work the entire way up, and, you know, we're just doing what we do. And ultimately I just told him, I said, look, I already feel like we've won. You know, if you really have, and we talk a lot about growth mindset, and that's been in the space for a long time. But what that means for me is like, what are your expectations? You know, and for me, I realized that just by taking this step, I was learning. And, mm-hmm. and I'm a person, which I'm sure this is probably true for you too. The second I feel comfortable or stagnant is the second I'm unhappy. You know, and I realized that was just true for me. So as much as I talk about like, oh, I hadn't really had my own thing, you know, until now, it was also an element of like, I always felt like I was learning. So I was never dissatisfied with being the second admin or being hired as an account coordinator 4.5 years ago in an Amazon agency, making less money than I had ever made coming out of college, you know, because I knew that I trusted myself, you know, to be able to just work really hard and learn the business and accelerate pretty quickly, but also that it was going to be, you shouldn't really feel like it's a step back ever, because you cannot possibly understand what those skills, what those little events and the experiences that you're having are going to add up to and are going to inform later in your life. You know, you mentioned just the wide variety of experiences, and I've had some too, you know, where I've really put myself into some odd situations, and that was really intentional because I think the best people are really born out of some struggle and out of some adversity, and you get some character and some grit and some, you know, some backbone to be able to understand like, look, if this all falls apart today, how are you going to feel? Well, number one, I feel super grateful that I've had the opportunity, and I feel super grateful that I get to work on this every single day. I don't hold that in mind every single day. There are certainly days where I'm like, man, like I could take a day off, you know, but I also realize the opportunity that I have. And I kind of try to wake up every day and meditate on the fact that like, look, don't leave anything on the table. You know, you may not get this chance again. Mm-hmm. And you might, and that's okay. You know, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it leaving, but I want to know if this falls apart tomorrow that I did everything I could. And I think if you have that approach, you never feel like, oh, it was a failure. You know, I don't really like even thinking about that word, because I think that's that negative self-talk that really actually defines the experience for you, as opposed to like, whoa, but wait a second, that one person you met, or that one thing you learned, or the skills that you don't even realize that you gathered through that are informing every single possibility for you moving forward. So I try to think about it as like, look, we're already ahead, you know, we're already ahead.
Success is perspective. You know, it's everyone's successes can be measured differently. And me and my sister, who helps me run my business, we've made a promise to always be, to try to remain comfortable being uncomfortable, and make change a constant in our lives, even as we age. You know, we love to travel together and things like that, and, you know, making promises to just never let those kind of things go, because travel is something that makes you uncomfortable at different aspects of it. You can be comfortable, agreed, but it's still uncomfortable. Agreed. And, you know, it's funny, I love fishing too. It's one of my big disconnects. I don't know how to fly fish, but I do know the rest of it, the lakes and the ocean and stuff. So that was fun that you guys, you know, just chatting that on the way down there. But this mindset stuff, I almost always try to end with a little bit of mindset talk, because for me, it's everything. I mean, that's been my only challenge, has been my mindset around my own growth. Or I honestly have a hard time thinking of failures, because I just don't label them that way. I label them as something else. So I'm like going into a different bucket of memories that I'm just like, okay, I'll try to come up with something that someone else might label as a failure, you know, so that I can say something. Mm-hmm. But I'm honestly like, I lost the money.
It's definition. It's definition, you know? Yeah, it is. And for me, it's about finding gratitude first, because right. if you start there, like I'm fortunate to have partners and customers like you, like Marconology on the other side. I'm fortunate to be able to know you and have this chance to be on the podcast. And I never would have that otherwise, you know, and unless you take a moment to just slow down and recognize that that came as a fruit of this, like, cool. You know, thank you. Like, thanks universe. Thanks Andrew for having me. And that's, if I can walk away from the day like that every single day and at least try to start my day like that, you tend to have more good days than bad days for sure.
Sam, I think we have to end with that. That was beautifully said. And I'll be in Colorado soon. Got quite a few clients out there. As soon as like this pandemic lifts, I'm trying to make some rounds, and I'll have to have you show me how to fly fish.
Man, I heard of something. I've got a rod for you for sure.
I'm good at fishing. I just haven't done fly fishing yet. So I know there's a lot to learn. I'd love to come out and see you guys and explore Colorado a little bit. Thanks for being on the show so much. I know we'll have you back. Dash is going to continue to grow, and I plan to know what's going on along the way. So thanks again for being on the show, and thanks again to our sponsor, FullScale.io, helping you build software teams quickly and affordably. You guys have a great night.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Bye, everybody.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.